May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 358. God thus commanded Jacob's seed, when from Egyptian bondage freed, he led them by the way. Remember, with a mighty hand, I brought thee forth from Pharaoh's land, then keep my Sabbath day. 358.
We will read from God's holy word from the book of Job, and we'll read chapter 35 and part of chapter 36. The book of Job, commencing at chapter 35 and verse 1. Elihu speaking to Job. Elihu spake moreover and said, Thinkest thou this to be right? That thou saidst, My righteousness is more than God's. For thou saidst, What advantage will it be unto thee? And what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? I will answer thee, and thy companions with thee. Look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what dost thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the Son of Man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry, and they cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, Where is God my Maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? There they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Though thou sayest, Thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore trust thou in him. But now, because it is not so, he hath visited in his anger. Yet he knoweth it not in great extremity. That is, Job knoweth it not in great extremity. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth words without knowledge. Elihu also proceeded and said, Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them for ever, and they are exalted. But if they be bound in fetters, and be holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place, where there is no straitness. And that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness, But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked, judgment and justice take hold on thee. There will we end the reading of God's holy word, and may you help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray that thou wouldst help us to come rightly before thee this Lord's Day, Sabbath day, the day of rest. O Lord, may we be given that grace of the Spirit, to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Do teach us that we may seek thee, to know thee, to understand thy word. To know thee, whom to know is life eternal. To know thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. To know thy judgments, thy hand that is upon each one of us, that we may hear thy voice, and as thou dost speak in circumstances and afflictions, in trials and troubles, O Lord, may we hear the voice, that we may give heed to it. And, O Lord, that thou wouldst grant us that grace of repentance and faith, not to continue in rebellion, in defiance, but to humbly fall before thee, for thou art so great. Thou art so much higher than the heavens. O Lord, how sin does puff us up, swell us up in our own thoughts and estimations that we are the people, we are greater than any. Our wisdom exceeds all others. Our righteousness exceeds all others. O Lord, do deliver us from that spirit. Indeed, it is a wicked spirit. It is one that proceeds from our own fallen hearts. Pride of the flesh. O Lord, may we be given that sight of thou, O Lord, who art higher than the heavens. Art pure and holy, all thy ways are just. All that thou doest in our lives, it is righteous. And, O Lord, we do pray for that grace of submission unto thy hand. And, O Lord, that which we see not, teach thou me. May that be our spirit, that we may be taught of thee. If we do not understand, we are bidden to pray unto thee. And, O Lord, how thou art gracious so to do. We have so many precious invitations and promises in the Scriptures. To those that seek, they will find. Those that ask, they shall receive. Those that knock at the door of mercy, the door of mercy shall be opened. Those that seek him with a whole heart, those that ask for an increase of faith, Lord, increase our faith. Thou art gracious to answer. How much more shall thy heavenly Father, thou didst say, give the Spirit to them that ask him? O Lord, so many precious invitations. O Lord, may we be much in prayer to plead them. O Lord, do grant us thy grace and thy help, that we may be delivered from despair, sluggishness, rebellion, that, O Lord, may be lively in seeking thee and in walking in thy ways, in faith and in the Spirit, looking unto the precious Redeemer, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That we may rest in that which he has done, in fulfilling the law, thy law, and that we may be filled with that desire in love. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That we may follow the law, not in that slavish way of which we have sung, but in the Spirit, in love, in union, with our eyes upon the Saviour. Indeed, if our eyes are upon the Saviour, and, O Lord, that sweet yoke which is taken upon us, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And, O Lord, if we be bound by the Spirit unto thee, are looking unto Jesus, oh, as we so do in thy grace, shall we not walk rightly? Oh, that it may be more so in our lives, that we be looking unto Jesus. Oh, Lord, we do pray that it may be so in this service and this day, that thou, O Lord Jesus, might have the preeminence. And, O Lord, we would pray for thy help then as we gather, thy help to our friends, the deacons, in their responsibility and the choosing of the hymns, thy blessing to rest upon the church and the congregation here. And, O Lord, we do pray for those that are away, some are away at this time, and thou hast be pleased to be with them, some caring for those that are sick or those that are aged. We would remember those that are in hospital, even one from this congregation, that, O Lord, that thou hast be with each that are in affliction, in suffering, that, O Lord, that thou hast draw near to their souls to grant them that sweet seeking of thee, and to look forward to that precious prospect of heaven where there shall be no more suffering, no more pain, no more distance, no more distractions. And, O Lord, we do pray for the children and the babes and those that have that responsibility as parents. O Lord, we do pray for the families here, that thou hast be pleased to bless them and favour them. Thou hast preserve the children and guide them in that right way. And, O Lord, how, I have to say personally, we went in those ways in younger years that were an abomination to thee, and how we do desire that our children would not follow in our own example. But, O Lord, may our example now, having known thy favour and thy mercy, be that which speaks unto our children. And, O Lord, how we deserve that our children should go in that same way that we did as children. But, O Lord, we do pray in mercy, look upon us, that our children, the children here, may be led of thee, and may be given that grace to seek thee above all others. And may we be given that grace as parents to walk rightly before thee. And, O Lord, we would pray for thy servants labouring, some in old age and in affliction. O Lord, do strengthen them each. Do help and strengthen my pastor where he is labouring at home at Chippenham. And, O Lord, that thy blessing may rest upon his labours. And, O Lord, we would remember those that are bereaved. Family of thy late servant, John Broome. And that thou wouldst comfort the widow and the family. But, O Lord, we do pray that as one Elijah has been taken, thou hast raised up more Elishas. As one servant of thine is taken, may there be others raised up to preach the everlasting gospel. And, O Lord, may that burden, if it could please thee, be laid upon the one and another of the young people. And, O Lord, we do pray that there may be that seeking of thee, seeking of thy heavenly calling, and that grace to walk in it. O Lord, we pray for others that mourn at this time. And, O Lord, those that are bereaved, that thou wouldst be pleased to help them and comfort them. And, O Lord, we do pray concerning our nation and the vileness that abounds, and the vileness in our parliament and government, our wickedness that has been proposed concerning marriage. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst overturn, raise up those that would truly know what ought to be done in our land. Grant repentance to those in authority and many in our nation to seek thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst look in mercy, indeed in this village and this neighbourhood, that there may be those that are taught of thee, brought to truly seek to know thee, to seek the truth. O Lord, we do pray for thy help then, and thy grace as we come to thy word. We praise thee that we have so precious a word of truth before us, the way of salvation in Christ Jesus the Lord, a precious Saviour. That thou, O Lord, art almighty, thou art all gracious, thou hearest the prayer of the beggar, the leper, the unclean, that would cry unto thee. So, O Lord, then help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 958. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. 958.
may the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. We will turn particularly to Job chapter 36 and verses 13, 14 and 15. Job chapter 36, verses 13, 14 and 15. For the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. In the book of Job, we have the inspired account of a man. Well, it is conjectured and speculated as to exactly when he was in Old Testament times, but it is not declared, so therefore it should not concern us. But this we know, that there was a man named Job. As we read at the beginning of the book of Job, that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, that is, avoided, shunned evil. One whose life was outwardly upright. One who offered up prayers and sacrifices. One in his walk was upright. But it is recorded there that there came a day, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. The word Satan is simply the Hebrew word for an adversary, an opponent. Satan, the devil, one who opposes. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, the perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Then as we read on, how Satan said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord gave permission to Satan to touch all that he had. We read of those sudden trials that came upon Job, his children being taken, all that he had being taken. And Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And again Satan came before the Lord. And the Lord gave Satan that leave to smite Job with those grievous sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. And then Job's wife said to him, curse God and die. And there was Job left to sit down among the ashes. We might ask the question, why? Why should the Lord do this? Well, as we read through the book of Job and come to the end of it, we find there Job is brought to that greater knowledge of the wickedness of his own heart, to a greater knowledge of the glory of God, brought to repent and abhor himself in dust and ashes. And not only Job to be taught, those three friends that came to Job. Now they had need of being taught, for they came and, well, as we read the account through the book of Job, how they said, well, the wicked are those that are cast down, just like Job was. And surely Job must have done some particular sin, robbed the poor, snatched away the child from the mother, and so on and so forth, which Job had not done. And how they set up that the righteous would be, well, just like they were, in their comforts and prosperity. As we read in the 32nd chapter of Job, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the fourth man who was here, a younger man, Elihu the son of Barachel the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. And the part of God's word that we have read, where a text is part of the address of Elihu to Job and his three friends, but this particularly addressed to Job, where Elihu shows how much greater God is, infinitely greater than man. But Job had said, as we read, what advantage will it be? My righteousness is more than God's. In effect, what advantage is it if I am righteous, and what do I lose from being a sinner? Oh, how far Job had fallen into words of infidelity, words of self-justification. But Elihu showed Job and his three friends, and it is written in the holy word of God that it is spoken unto us, to you and to me, that God is infinitely higher than ourselves. His ways are not our ways. So much higher than the heavens are his ways, his wisdom. And that it behoves us to fall down before him in submission and worship, to give him the honour and the glory. So let us look a little further. We have in the 33rd chapter of Job, again, that explanation of why the Lord would lay affliction, why the Lord would bring into deep trouble. In chapter 33, we have in verse 14, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. We have the vision of the night. But then we have the chastening. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious, that is, God is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. There indeed is a reference to Christ and the sacrifice of Christ, the shed blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and he shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God. Ah, is that not the reason that the Lord brings these troubles upon us? Perhaps you are in such particular trouble at the moment, or we pass through one, or indeed we may be called to pass through one that we as yet know not of. But is it not that the Lord should bring us to prayer in a way that we've never prayed before? To bring us to seek him in a way we've never sought him before? To see of his glory in a way that we've never seen before? To see of our own righteousness and sinfulness in a way we have never seen before? He shall pray unto God, and he will be favourable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy. He will render unto man his righteousness. There is the imputed righteousness of Christ. There is the view by faith of the Redeemer. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He shall see his face with joy, looking unto Jesus. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, these things worketh God oftentimes with man. So those who preach a gospel of health and wealth, leisure and pleasure and entertainment, now everything should go smoothly if we but believed, and so on and so forth, are preaching a lie. But it says here, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Yes, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ truly know a great spiritual pleasure, a token of that which shall be enjoyed eternally, far above anything that we could ever conceive of here below in heaven. We have but a glimpse, see through at last darkly what it is to be like in heaven. But we have that token, that sign, that, as it were, a foretaste of what it shall be. And shall that not bring us in joy in the Spirit to come before the Lord and praise him from whom all blessings flow? Praise him, all creatures here below. And to thank God that we have not just been permitted to go in the ways of smooth pleasures and prosperous respectability and so on, as so many aspire to. For we have to say, I can say personally, would have never have come to prayer had everything gone smoothly. Indeed, if the Lord had so permitted me since I was brought into a saving knowledge of Christ to just go along smoothly, easily, I'd just be backsliding. So the Lord chastises, brings into trials out of love. And there is a voice, it's love, eternal love to his people. But to all, as we read Scripture carefully, it is a voice. And none are without excuse. There is a voice that speaks. Have we ears to hear? Do we shut our ears? Put our hands over our ears and, as it were, and say, I do not want to hear. So let us come to another, before we come particularly to our text, to another chapter in God's word, that is Psalm 107. Again, there we read of the Lord's dealings in tribulation, sickness, difficulty. But the psalm begins, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In the midst of trouble and distress, it's difficult, is it not? Indeed, in the flesh, impossible to look to the eternal mercy of God. How we need faith to see that which we don't see with a natural eye. We see with a natural eye distress, sorrow, perhaps loved ones taken, sickness in our body, those around us cursing us, mocking us perhaps, trouble, distress in the mind, all these things we see. So may the Lord give you and I that grace of faith to look up, to see that God is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have here, later in that psalm, when they were brought, though those brought into hunger and thirst, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. We have those that are brought down. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. There we have a link to our text with the bands, bonds, metal fetters, chains, cannot be broken ourselves, the binders, the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath, they cry not when he bindeth them. Job 35 and verse 13. We see here those hypocrites in heart. They cry not. There's a great distinction here between the godly and the ungodly. All mankind born unto trouble. Man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. All are sinners, all must go partake of the curse on account of sin. But the great question is, to whom do we cry in our trouble? To whom are you crying unto? Let us first consider what is meant by hypocrite. The hypocrites in heart, the hypocrite. The word hypocrite is simply a Greek word, Hippocrates, which means an actor in the theatre. As I might have said before, somebody pretends that they're somebody, but really they're something else. Publicly showing themselves to be one person, but when they've left the theatre and gone to their home, they're somebody else. Like those who come to a church and sing hallelujah and praise the Lord, but when they go out of the place of worship, curse and blaspheme. Or if their words do not say that, their actions will show that they are the children of the devil, not the children of God. But have we not all got that spirit, that awful spirit of hypocrisy about us in the old man? Can any one of us say that we're clean of it? Alas, we cannot. How many times have we sung God's praises or spoken in prayer concerning something, and then scarce a few hours or a day or week or whatever's gone past, and then we suddenly realise what a hypocrite we are. And we're guilty before God. And perhaps that which brings us to understand our hypocrisy is some trouble, some sudden affliction. Without going into personal details, I would say, though, personally, there are times when my younger days, too much of a Pharisaical spirit of judgment at times, and it wasn't of the Lord. I ought to have known better. And I didn't see it until somebody acted the Pharisee to me and accused me of things that I'd not done, called me a hypocrite and so on. And what was so painful, that person was a child of God. And it was then that I came to see that I had done the same to others. Perhaps in a different manner, but it was the same, really, before God, sin. And one had to be brought into that place where one was in trouble, distress. In this case, I wasn't in physical pain or illness, but I certainly was in soul trouble and distress of mind very greatly. But it was that trouble that brought me to see those things I never saw before, to confess before God. And I had to apologise to one of the brethren in particular concerning things I'd done years before. And I personally knew that the Lord turned my captivity in that matter at that time. We do well to consider you are in trouble, in distress, in pain. What is the voice? The Lord's voice. No, there surely is a voice. May I have ears to hear? Let him that hath ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But we have here, it doesn't just say the hypocrites, it says the hypocrites in heart. Well, if we truly know the Lord Jesus Christ, truly crying unto him, seeking him, that's not of the flesh, the old heart. The Lord is very gracious to take away that old heart of stone. As we read in Ezekiel 36, to give a heart of flesh, that is a living heart, rather than one that is dead, cold, but to give one which is living, alive unto God. The old man of sin is a hypocrite and always will be to the day that we die. But is there that new desire within? And how may we discern it in the heart? How may we discern it? Because Satan is a very crafty enemy. To say you're a hypocrite. How can you expect any good from God? How can you expect any blessing from coming to the house of God, from reading God's word or from prayer? Well, you can read many, if you look in the concordance of the word hypocrite, you'll find many references to hypocrites being cut off and so on, cast into the lake of fire and so on. And Satan is very good at selective quotations of scripture, misapplication of Scripture, to terrify and to dismay those who are the Lord's, who are seeking Him, who are looking to the Lord in their distress. And indeed, Satan was using Job's three friends who came and judged him. But the counsel of Satan shall not prevail. The word of God shall prevail. The Lord raised up Elihu to speak the truth. And as we read in the latter part of Job, God himself speaks out of the whirlwind. Directly, not through inspiration of any other. Directly to Job and Elihu and the other three. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. The question is, are we a hypocrite in heart or not? Well, let us consider some examples on the left hand or on the right hand. Those who were truly hypocrites in heart, and those who cried unto the Lord when they were bound in affliction. Fetters of iron. In other words, those bonds that you couldn't get free from. There are some, you might say, difficulties that we may sit down and reason out. Yes, that's how we get round it. And we do, in that sense. But there are other things that you simply cannot get round. The bonds are of iron, cannot be broken. Sickness in the body, something that man cannot cure. Distress in the mind that no matter how much sympathy or advice or counsel from fellow men, believers, ministers, simply cannot help. Need that which is from God. Guilt over sin. Trouble in the soul. Oh, there's none but God can break those bonds. And how precious it is when the word of the gospel comes and the precious word concerning the Saviour Jesus Christ. And the precious blood of the atonement and the resurrection power to set you free. To set at liberty. So we have on both sides the hypocrites in heart and those who, alas, and the old man, yes, hypocrites, but there is a new heart that is not hypocritical, but that is seeking. So what examples have we got in God's word? The hypocrites in heart. Well, we have many of the children of Israel in the wilderness. That they did not know the Lord in spirit and in truth, although they had the name of Israelite according to the flesh. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness because of unbelief. And when they were in trouble, what did they do? They murmured. They murmured against and cried unto Moses and Aaron. There was not that cry unto the Lord. For one instance, the Lord sent those fiery serpents and many died. But yet the Lord also was pleased to raise up or command Moses to lift up the brazen serpent, a type of Christ, and that all who looked lived. We have Esau. And when Jacob had stolen the blessing, he cried unto his father, Isaac, is there not one, a blessing for me? And he wept. We don't read of Esau crying unto God, pleading for mercy, confessing he did not deserve a blessing. We also have one of the two thieves. We read of in Luke chapter 23, one of the thieves that was crucified next to Christ. And although that he was nailed to the cross, dying, terrible death, he railed on, that is, insulted, blasphemed Christ, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Indeed, we read in the scriptures that both thieves at first did that. But then came the darkness. Then the other darkness came after, but the other thief was brought to see that he indeed justly was condemned. They were both at first railed upon Christ, insulted him, blasphemed him, but then in that agony upon the cross, one of them was brought to consider him. We indeed justly. This man hath done nothing amiss, but we indeed justly are under this condemnation. And was brought in that to cry unto the Lord, Lord, remember me. And the Lord did remember him. Verily thou shalt be with me in paradise. But that other thief, the second thief, died unrepentant. Those sufferings that he was going through called him, brought him to blaspheme Christ all the more. And it shall always be with the wicked. When they're brought into distress or trouble, they'll challenge God. How can a God of love do this? Should not I deserve better than this? I don't believe in God, and so forth. And bringing the time of trial is a time of separating. Separating the wheat from the chaff. From those who know God in spirit and in truth, and those who don't. And indeed, those of us who know him in spirit and in truth, there is a separating out of the chaff that we're best without. The proud and the rebellious spirit. The self-sufficiency. So we read in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 9, and that vision that the Apostle John had of the end of this world. And indeed all the judgments that shall precede that, and then the glorious reign of Christ in heaven. But in chapter 16 and verse 9, where we have the wrath of God poured out upon the earth, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They cried not. But those who are under the influence of the Spirit, there is a cry unto God from the heart. And Satan may have all but persuaded you that you're a hypocrite, even though you may read the scriptures and be seeking him, coming to the house of God in desiring to know. But Satan's almost persuaded you there's no hope. You're a hypocrite. Look what your life's been like. Look how many times a day you fall into some besetting sin or other. But we're not commanded to listen to Satan. when our Lord drove out those demons from various ones that who came to him or he came to in his earthly ministry, he suffered them not to speak. We're not to give heed to the devil. Even though the devil seems to give the glory, refer to Christ as the Son of God, Christ commanded them not to speak. We're not to give heed at all to Satan. If we're to answer anything, it is as Christ did. It is written. The Word of God. And if you are truly seeking Christ, even in the midst of affliction and trouble, truly seeking that the Lord would be merciful to you, to help, truly crying unto the Lord for deliverance, that isn't hypocrisy in heart. That indeed is the work of grace within. Then we have, shall we not rather shut our ears to Satan, but seek to hear the precious words of the Saviour? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ask and ye shall seek. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, we read in verse 15, and openeth their ears in oppression. And are not these things brought upon us that our ears be opened? It was quite striking that our friend chose that hymn 958, Oh for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, and so on. We may ask, and I've done so, in my early days especially, that the Lord would teach me, the Lord would guide me. And then suddenly found myself in deep trouble in various ways, or I'd be brought out from various ungodly influences, and those who I was with, for various reasons, turned against me, and including those who made a profession of faith, who were not those who were reliable guides, as it were. Those who were not true. Who would not guide me in the right way. Indeed, there a spirit of contention came upon them, and I was cast out from their company, reviled, and so on. And felt, well, what have I done? Why should they have turned against me like this? But I have to look back and say, yes, it was God. It was the hand of God. They brought me to seek God. To read my Bible rather than to put the trust in man. What does this man say or that man say? But what does the Word of God say? To be persuaded in my own heart by God the Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Peter says, make your calling and election sure. And if all went smooth and comfortable and easy and we were praised by men all around, would we be doing so? Would we not just become smug and self-sufficient, proud and careless? But God is merciful to bring us to these places where we are shown those idols in our hearts that we never saw before. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. Another instance we have in Scripture is in Jeremiah and chapter 42. Well, and associated chapters. Where a remnant of the Jews come to Jeremiah. Should they return, go into Egypt? Or should they remain under the Chaldeans in their own land? The Lord commanded Jeremiah to speak to them, "Go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it." Well, it was revealed unto the prophet that the people had dissembled, that is, lied, in coming unto him to ask of the Lord, and rather not just lied unto Jeremiah, but lied unto the Lord God of heaven and earth. And when Jeremiah spoke those words, although they were under the most solemn judgments of God, many had been slain, others taken into captivity, Jerusalem destroyed and burnt with fire, only a remnant remaining in great distress, yet they would not hear. Said rather, "Well, we haven't burnt, offered to the Queen of Heaven and the host of heaven, because we've left off our idols." Hypocrites in heart. They were not seeking with a true heart, a true spirit. And they went down to Egypt. And Jeremiah the prophet prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar would come there with his armies to destroy. For those, we do have those who the Lord has taught otherwise. Rather than, as the word says, die in youth, in verse 14, literally in the Hebrew, their soul dieth. The eternal death, the soul. Their life is among the unclean. The word literally means sodomite, as is given in the margin. But what maketh you to differ? The grace of God, the mercy of God. We have in Scripture the case of Manasseh, King Manasseh. We find that in 2 Chronicles in chapter 33. There was the most wicked man. His father was the godly King Hezekiah. But Manasseh had came to the throne when he was 12 years old. And for it would appear the majority of his reign was one of wickedness and evil, idolatry, murder, vilest actions which the word of God wisely would not enumerate the wicked details of. But he surpassed all in his wickedness. Yet we read that the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. There in his affliction, the Lord humbled him. Is that not what these afflictions do to you and I, or should do? To humble us, that we should pray unto the Lord. And if we're of that spirit, our conscience tells us, witnesses, that in our hearts we do desire that we may know the Lord. We do cry unto the Lord, "Lord, help me. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Or like the leper that came unto Jesus, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole." That affliction, it brought him to Jesus. What a great mercy it is if afflictions that the Lord has laid upon you and I bring us to Jesus and to come again to Jesus. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression. That woman with the issue of blood, it brought her to Jesus. The dying thief, the thief who died repenting, it brought him to Jesus. Oh, let us not listen to Satan, but rather press on, crying unto the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have another instance in the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the breaking of the yoke of the oppressor. Again, a type of bond that can't be broken. If two animals are yoked together, they can't get free of that yoke. Not unless another comes and frees them. And in Isaiah chapter 10, we have against Assyria and their oppression of the Israelites. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Horeb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing, well, the anointed one in Hebrew is Messiah, in Greek it's Christ. One who is anointed without measure, anointed as the Saviour. Anointed as the one who should redeem his people from their sins. The one who should break the yoke. The yoke shall be destroyed. Not even just taken off. If the yoke was taken off, like two animals that were yoked together, at the end of the day, the yoke's taken off, we might expect that when the new day comes, they'll be yoked again. But no, the yoke's destroyed. Lord's people set at liberty through the precious blood of Christ, through the resurrection power of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. What precious promises we have. What cause we have to come unto the Lord, to press on and to plead for help. And oh, the Lord would give us that increase of faith to believe. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of the glory of Christ. Because he is anointed without measure. Because of the work of the Spirit. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £740, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Dr. Sadler hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, and we hope he will address the Sunday school. There will be a trustee meeting on Monday evening, And can I ask the church members to stay behind now, please? Let us close with hymn 691. All outward means till God appears will ineffectual prove. Though much the sinner sees and hears, he cannot learn to love. But let the stoutest sinner feel the softening warmth of grace. Though hard as ice or rocks or steel, his heart dissolves apace. 691.
Blessing as we part, thy mercy upon that which has been spoken amiss, but O Lord, do bless thine own word for the good of our souls. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.